be unkind if I didn't take just a moment of time to express my appreciation for those who are visiting. We want you to take your Bible and study with us. I have no intention of belittling anything you might believe, and yet at the same time, have the responsibility of preaching the truth of God. Should you find I've taught something wrong, I stand to be corrected. If you'll show me the error of my way, I'll make the proper correction. And if you have never put on Christ in baptism, all things have been made ready where you can confess Jesus as the Son of God, and upon your confession be immersed into Christ for the remission of sins and be added to the family of God. If you have your Bible, turn with me, if you will, for just a moment to 2 Timothy chapter 4. And when you come to 2 Timothy chapter 4, read with me the last verse at this particular time, verse 22. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 22, notice the statement, "The Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Grace be with you. Amen." Then if you take your Bible, turn with me, if you will, kindly, to 2 Peter and the 3rd chapter. And when you come to 2 Peter chapter 3, look at verse 18. In verse 18, as the Apostle Peter brings his epistle to a close, notice the statement, "But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory both now and forever. Amen." Then, if you would kindly, turn with me to the Revelation letter and the 22nd chapter. And when you come to the last chapter of the Revelation, before the book is closed and the seal is closed, you will find that John has something to say in verse 21. In the last verse of this particular writing, notice the statement made by John. "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen." If you want to know what's important to somebody, you want to hear their last words. And there are people in my life that I remember the last words they said to me, and they've touched my heart. And at this particular time, I begin to think about the men of God as they were coming to a close of life. What they had to say was important. And as you read their final letters, as they're writing to different individuals, you'll find what is on their mind is something they want to share with that individual so that person will remember it. But it is interesting to me that when you read the words of Paul, Peter, and John, you'll find they all have the same thing in mind when they come to their last letter. And what I want to talk about for a few moments this morning is final words. And I want us to look at the final words of these men, then make application to our life and the lesson will be yours. The first thing I want us to take note about is that in each of the epistles that we have and the revelation that we've just read, notice the circumstances in which they are being written. Notice, if you will, that the Apostle Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 4, in verses 10 through 11, is lonely at this time. When the Apostle Paul is writing to Timothy, he said, "Only Luke is with me," that all the others had left to either do work or had forsaken the cause as Demas had. And so here is the Apostle Paul, and he's in a Roman prison, and he's lonesome at that particular time. And I've tried in my mind to imagine the feeling in the heart of a man like Paul, who was lonesome and who wrote to Timothy to come before winter, come before the end of the season of sailing, so that he could see him one more time. But then, if you take your Bible, notice, if you will, when Peter is writing his epistle, that Peter recognizes that his life is about to come to an end. Notice, if you will, in 2 Peter chapter 1, in verse 14, he said, "Knowing that shortly I must put off my tent, just as our Lord Jesus Christ showed me." So here is the Apostle Peter, and he recognizes that his lifetime is but a short span. And this man is writing to individuals throughout Asia Minor who've been scattered. And he is wanting them to know the doctrine of Christ and some other things. And at this time, he realizes that his life is but a short span. Then, when you read from the Revelation letter and the 22nd chapter, you'll find that John is writing during the time the church is being persecuted. And he's concerned about the great persecution. He talks about in Revelation 1:9 that he's part of the tribulation as they are. And he talks to them in Revelation 2 and verse 10 about the things that they're going to suffer and even may die for the cause of Christ. So here are three men in different circumstances, and yet notice what each of them had to say when they come to the end of their life. Go back, if you will, and look at 2 Timothy 4:22, and notice the word that the Apostle Paul says very carefully. Notice the word grace. If you have your Bible, underscore, grace be with you. Then go back, if you would, kindly, and notice the word that the Apostle Peter said in 2 Peter 3 and verse 18 as he concludes his epistle. Peter, what's on your mind as you write your last letter to the people? And notice he says, but grow in the grace and knowledge. Underscore grace. Then if you take your Bible, notice in the Revelation letter, as John brings this letter to a close, notice that he says in verse 21, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. I want it to be emphasized that each one, at the time that they're writing their final words, their mind is upon the grace of God. I want us to think about the grace of God for just a few moments of time. I first want us to look at Paul's view of grace. Paul had a view of grace that is something that we need to bear in mind because Paul understood how important grace was. Paul understood that he was saved by the grace of God. He remembered his past sins and he remembered what grace can do. First of all, Paul remembered that grace can teach us how to live. That grace can teach us that we can be saved from our sins. You remember that in Acts 22 and verse 16, that Paul was told by Ananias to arise and be baptized, washing away his sins, calling on the name of the Lord. He recognized that when he obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, that the grace of God took away his past sins. That he was free from the sin that he had committed in the past. But then, if you take your Bible, notice in Titus chapter 2 that this man of God, as he is writing, wants us to understand something else about the grace of God. Look, if you will, beginning at verse 11. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age. Do you recognize this morning that the grace of God teaches us that it has appeared to all men, that it is necessary for salvation, but it teaches us that we're to deny ungodliness and worldly lust and that we live soberly, righteously, and godly in this age so that we can live with God in the age to come. But then if you take your Bible, look again at what he said in verse 13. Looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. You know what Paul recognized about the grace of God? He had the hope of eternal life. He said he's looking forward to the day Jesus comes again. And notice how he states that statement. He said the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. Have you ever thought about how Paul viewed the grace of God? Have you ever thought about in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 that it's the grace of God that motivated that man to be a disciple and worker in the kingdom of God? In 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 10, Paul said, but by the grace of God I am what I am, and His grace toward me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. You know what motivated Paul to go out and teach others about salvation? You want to know what motivated that man to be dedicated to the cause of Christ? To have such zeal? He saw the grace of God. God's undeserved, unmerited favor. That God would be willing to forgive a sinner such as he. And he called himself the chief of sinners. Have you ever thought about the grace of God? But then if you take your Bible, look again at what Peter had to say. And notice what Peter said in 2 Peter 3 and verse 18, where he says, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. What's your view of grace, Peter? As you're bringing your letter to a close, what are you telling the children of God? He says, I want you to understand you never arrive, but you must continue to grow and increase. You must continue to grow in the grace of God and increase in the knowledge of Christ. Do you recognize we must be individuals that grow in grace and knowledge? Go back, if you will, to what Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 1. When Peter was writing in 1 Peter chapter 1, he talked about that we are going to face great trials in verse 6. But notice what he says down in verse 10. Of this salvation the prophets have inquired and searched carefully who prophesied of the grace, underscore grace, that would come to you. You ever thought, my friend, the prophets of old looked to this gift that God would give through His Son? And here Peter saying the prophets searched for it and now it's been revealed to you. And I want you to think about that when Peter looked at the grace of God, he thought about when he denied the Lord, when he played the hypocrite, and he recognized when he repented, God forgave him and he increased in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. But then if you look at John's view, look at what John understood. John understood that though the people of God were suffering at that particular time, that God's grace would be with them. That God's favor was with His people. Even though they were going through trials and tribulations and suffering for their faith, they weren't suffering because of sin. They weren't suffering because they'd done something wrong. They were suffering because of their righteousness. And notice that he said, God's favor is with you. I want to take that, and I want to make application in the lesson yours. The first thing I want to raise to this morning is, do you believe in the grace of God? Do you believe that God has the power to blot out your sin? When you come to God in faith and you obey God, and you put your faith in the Word of God and in the promises of God and you're baptized into Christ and you're raised in newness of life, do you believe that God takes away your sin? But secondly, when we fall short as children of God and we turn and we repent and we confess our sin, as John says in 1 John 1:9, do we believe that God is faithful to forgive us our sin? I'll tell you something. When I see the grace of God, and I see that God's willing to forgive me, then I need to be willing to forgive myself when I recognize I've truly repented. But secondly, I want you to think about grace should motivate us to serve God. I understand many times we're motivated by fear, and I understand that none of us want to lose our soul, and that's a great motivation, but I'll tell you what really should motivate us is the grace of God. That God wants others to be members of the body of Christ. He wants people to be saved. I've often thought about in our day and time, are we motivated by the grace of God? Paul said, I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God that was in me. Paul understood the grace of God. But then I want you to think about a second question. Are we growing in grace? Have you grown? How are we growing in our faith? Do we pray more? Do we study more? Do we show more compassion? Are we willing to forgive others? I want to know, my friend, are we growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ? You know what's a shame is there's been some who've been members of the Lord's body for years and they've not grown one bit. We need to be growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But something else we need to think about. We need to see that God's grace is there for our every need. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, when Paul had prayed about the thorn in the flesh, he went three times to the Lord. And he asked God to remove that thorn, whatever that thorn was. And you remember what God's answer was to him? My grace is sufficient for thee. Do you believe that whatever we're going through in life, that the grace of God is sufficient to get us through the problem here, and that we're looking forward not to the end of the problem here, but to life beyond the grave? We're looking forward to the day that by God's amazing grace, we're with God. Now that does not take away the fact we obey God. He said, as we read this morning in the Bible class, we must abide in His Word. We read this morning that we must be a people that obey the gospel. But I want us to understand that at the end of the day, though we obey, though we do good works, at the end, it's going to be God's amazing grace that should be upon our hearts. That God would love someone like me. That God would look down at a fellow who sinned and violated the will of God, and yet God still loved me and provided a way for me to be saved from my sin. And my final words, if this were my last lesson, but some thought we'll preach tonight because you're gluttons for punishment, would be, don't neglect the grace of God. I don't know how many sermons I've preached. And I don't know how many more I may be allowed to preach. But if this were my final words to this group of people, like Paul, Peter, and John, I would beg you not to turn away from the gift God has offered us in salvation. There is nothing on this earth worth losing your soul over. The devil has lied to us. The world has confused us. There are people out there telling you to live the way you want to live and ignore God's word. I want to tell you something, my friend. The devil's a liar. The world follows the devil. And what we need to do is look at the truth of God's word, because there's nothing worth losing your soul over. There's nothing in this world worth forfeiting your soul. There's nothing worth compromising so that your soul is lost. I'll tell you, my friend, the most important possession we have is our soul, because it's eternal. And my final plea and my begging to the people is, if you have issue with me, take issue with me. But don't take issue with Jesus. Obey Jesus. Obey His Word. Why? Because you want to be saved in that day. And my final word would be, don't forget the grace of God. As together we stand and sing, we invite you to come.